invitados por el Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional, comenzarán el año sumando su voz a la clausura del primer Festival Mundial de las Resistencias y las Rebeldías contra el Capitalismo. La Ciudad de México se anunciaron una serie de actividades para exigir la presentación con vida de los normalistas desaparecidos. Plantadas frente a la Procuraduría Mexicana, diversas organizaciones ciudadanas declararon que las movilizaciones continuarán.
Aquí en el Distrito Federal, organizaciones, estamos dispuestos a movilizarnos de la manera más amplia y más combativa para seguir exigiendo la presentación inmediata de los 43 normalistas.
2015 será un año en que continuará la presión al gobierno mexicano, advirtieron los padres de familia que buscan desde hace más de 3 meses a sus hijos.
Entonces para nosotros es muy importante seguir adelante. ¿Sí? Nosotros seguimos en pie de lucha hasta encontrarlo.
Al igual que en la víspera de Navidad, una comisión de padres de los 43 normalistas desaparecidos se manifestaron en la residencia oficial del presidente de México. El primer día del año comenzaron una huelga de hambre para reiterar la exigencia al Estado mexicano de la aparición con vida de sus hijos. Raimundo Pérez Arellano, Telesur, Ciudad de México.
Una de 3 testigos de la masacre de 22 jóvenes por parte de soldados del ejército mexicano en el municipio de Tlatlaya denunció haber sido torturada para obligarla a firmar una declaración falsa. Según reporta la agencia de noticias AP, cuando la mujer se negó a decir que los 22 presuntos delincuentes habían muerto en un enfrentamiento con el ejército, funcionarios estatales la patearon, le colocaron una bolsa sobre la cabeza, la metieron en un excusado y la golpearon tan fuerte que dice tiene problemas para ver y oír. Entrevistada después de pasar 5 meses en prisión acusada falsamente de posesión ilegal de armas, la testigo dijo que el encubrimiento de las ejecuciones extrajudiciales no se limita a 7 soldados bajo proceso. Señaló que incluye a más militares, funcionarios estatales y federales que la presionaron para que no dijera se trató de una ejecución extrajudicial. De acuerdo a las declaraciones de otra sobreviviente de la masacre de Tlatlaya, la mayoría de las víctimas fueron asesinadas después de haber salido de una bodega con las manos en alto. Ambas mujeres temen represalias de las autoridades mexicanas o narcotraficantes, por lo que no han revelado su nombre real. El presidente Mahmoud Abbas solicitó el ingreso de Palestina a la Corte Penal Internacional con la intención de llevar a Israel ante el organismo mundial por violaciones de derechos humanos contra el pueblo palestino. La solicitud fue presentada el miércoles, un día después de que el Consejo de Seguridad de la ONU rechazara la propuesta palestina de dar un plazo a Israel para firmar un acuerdo de paz y poner fin a 6 décadas de ocupación de las tierras palestinas.
Los del Consejo no quieren darnos nuestros derechos. Siguen lo que le dice la derecha. Se toma decisiones desde la derecha. Tenemos que trabajar en conseguir nuestro propio derecho. El Consejo de Seguridad no es el fin del mundo. Y esta última sesión de ayer por la noche no es el final del camino. A partir de esta noche diremos lo que tenemos que decir. Y haremos lo que tengamos que hacer.
Cientos de personas que protestaban este miércoles contra la brutalidad policial en el estado de Missouri intentaron ocupar el edificio de la policía en San Luis. Se informó de al menos 15 arrestados. Para este jueves, durante el tradicional desfile de las rosas de Pasadena en California, que se televisa en todo Estados Unidos, activistas locales han convocado a marchar para denunciar los homicidios de jóvenes afroamericanos y latinos a manos de la policía. Cerca de 2.000 niños migrantes que arribaron a Estados Unidos sin la compañía de algún familiar han sido deportados anualmente desde el 2011, después de haber pasado por un proceso judicial en las cortes migratorias. 3/4 partes de los deportados son originarios de Centroamérica y el resto de México. Según autoridades, estos menores expulsados no forman parte del grupo de niños centroamericanos que llegaron masivamente este año a Estados Unidos, huyendo de la pobreza y la violencia en sus países de origen. Expertos consideran que los niños deportados probablemente no tuvieron representación de un abogado al comparecer ante los jueces migratorios. La presidenta de Brasil, Dilma Rousseff, asumió el miércoles su segundo periodo como jefa de Estado para los próximos 4 años. Rousseff ha prometido continuar los programas de lucha contra la pobreza y la reforma agraria, incluso en condiciones de un más lento desarrollo de la economía de Brasil. palestinos que exigen el fin de la ocupación de Israel buscan maneras de ser reconocidos como un pueblo independiente. Una de ellas es jugando fútbol en las copas internacionales. Antón Cerrojo de Noticias RT con los detalles.
Grandes esperanzas. Con esa idea en el corazón, los niños empiezan a jugar el fútbol. Muchos sueñan con ganar la Copa del Mundo y algunos ya se ven ganadores. Por primera vez en la historia de Palestina, una familia en Cisjordania se está preparando para las competiciones de la Copa Asiática. Tienen fe en sus posibilidades. Esto no es de sorprender. Todos los miembros del equipo pertenecen a la misma familia.
Sabemos cómo jugar juntos. Nos entendemos muy bien durante el juego.
Hader está muy orgulloso de jugar tanto en el equipo nacional de Palestina como también con su familia.
Todos los jugadores del equipo pertenecen a la misma familia. Seis de ellos son mis hijos. Los demás son primos nuestros.
Haji Youssef Abu Hamad ha fundado el club hace 30 años para que su aldea sea famosa entre los palestinos. Sus 12 hijos jugaron en el equipo y ahora sus nietos lo hacen también. Ellos esperan que tras el reconocimiento por parte de la ONU, en Palestina se resuelvan muchos problemas.
Cuando tú tienes tu propio estado, hay un mejor presupuesto para el deporte, más que el de ahora, porque la mayor parte de este va hacia los prisioneros y sus familias. Nosotros queremos tener estadios, nuestros propios estadios, como los otros países. Nosotros nos moveremos libremente.
Sin embargo, de momento el entrenamiento no es fácil. La ocupación israelí impide a los jóvenes alcanzar sus sueños.
Ante todo, el pueblo está rodeado por asentamientos, así que es difícil para ellos moverse con facilidad y es difícil para nosotros movernos como otros equipos.
Mientras tanto, la familia de los deportistas insiste en seguir jugando, pese a todos los problemas políticos.
Estamos en la mitad, pero seguiremos viviendo aquí y jugando al fútbol. Es nuestra forma de resistencia.
Antón Sorokov, RT.
Rompiendo las cadenas de miedo en mi interior, alivio mi voluntad al movimiento estelar. Soy reflejo de las raíces de poder. Resistencia es mi herencia. Conciencia buscando amor, no dolor. Sin culpa, acción, solución.
Estás escuchando el informativo Pacífica.
Te invitamos a que te unas a nuestras redes sociales por Twitter en info-pacífica o por Facebook bajo el nombre de nuestro productor Fernando Velázquez e Informativo Pacífica. Escucha el noticiero cada día de lunes a viernes en Pueblos Sin Fronteras wordpress.com.
Ayotzinapa no se queda callada, el pueblo muere y sufre y nadie hace nada. La lucha sigue y sigue, mi gente queda en nada. Mi puño está hacia arriba, pronta una salida. Fuera la violencia, hay más resistencia.
Las comunidades indígenas del sur de México, que el 1 de enero de 1994 declararon la guerra al gobierno neoliberal de Carlos Salinas de Gortari, han extendido la mano a los padres y madres de los 43 normalistas de Ayotzinapa desaparecidos por el Estado en septiembre pasado. Los familiares son invitados especiales en la conmemoración del surgimiento del Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional en 1994, que se realiza en el Caracol de Oventic, en el municipio de San Andrés Larraínzar, Chiapas.
Se lo llevaron vivos, vivos los queremos de vuelta. La consigna es clara.
Esta es la segunda reunión que los familiares de los normalistas de Ayotzinapa sostendrán con el EZLN. Los familiares de los 43 estudiantes que continúan sin ser localizados, la mayoría humildes campesinos, encabezan una lucha nacional que ha visibilizado la tragedia humanitaria que vive México con la desaparición de decenas de miles de personas durante los gobiernos de Felipe Calderón y Enrique Peña Nieto. Las madres y padres fueron invitados a participar en el Festival Mundial de las Resistencias y las Rebeldías contra el Capitalismo, que culmina el miércoles en el Caracol de Oventic, en Chiapas, México. En el Festival de las Resistencias, el estudiante de la Normal Rural Raúl Isidro Burgos, Omar García, hizo las siguientes declaraciones.
El 26 de septiembre, nadie lo buscó. El 26 de septiembre no surgió como un proyecto nuestro, ni de nadie. Tampoco la guardería ABC, ni las muertas de Juárez, ni ninguno de los problemas que han surgido en nuestro país. Por eso nuestro movimiento en la búsqueda de los 43 compañeros ha sido un movimiento muy complejo y muy difícil. Ha sido un movimiento el cual no figura en él ni siquiera un proyecto político aún. Sin embargo, estamos convencidos de que el país tiene que cambiar. Lo hemos dicho muchas veces, nosotros estuvimos ahí. ¿Qué pensaría cada uno de ustedes? ¿Qué pensaría un padre de familia, un estudiante, si un guacho, un soldado les dice: dame tu nombre real, porque si me das un nombre falso, nunca te van a encontrar? ¿Qué pensarían? En ese momento nosotros no pensábamos nada porque no sabíamos que se estaba orquestando la desaparición forzada de nuestros compañeros. Sin embargo, conforme fue pasando el tiempo, nos fuimos dando cuenta que el Estado mexicano tenía las manos bien metidas en el problema y que el ejército mexicano estaba demasiado inmiscuido en la desaparición forzada de nuestros compañeros, porque son los únicos que no dejan rastro cuando desaparecen a una persona, cuando desaparecen a un indígena que defiende sus bosques, cuando desaparecen a un campesino que defiende sus tierras, cuando el maestro lucha por plazas, por mejoras salariales, cuando el estudiante reclama más matrículas o mejoras en sus instituciones. En fin, son ellos los que, coludidos con la delincuencia organizada, a nosotros no nos interesa. Fueron ellos, los vimos, estaban uniformados, y a quienes se los hayan dado, eso ya es asunto suyo. Ese es problema suyo. Entonces, a nosotros no nos vengan con que no están inmiscuidos y que no quieren abrir nuevas líneas de investigación. Nosotros mismos vamos a emprender la búsqueda junto con los padres de familia, con las organizaciones sociales, con las policías comunitarias. Nosotros mismos vamos a empezar a construir un nuevo país, como lo hemos expresado desde el principio. Estamos formando los consejos municipales en nuestro estado de Guerrero. Probablemente logremos muchas cosas, probablemente no logremos nada, pero sí queremos demostrar, por un lado, al gobierno, que no nos vamos a quedar de brazos cruzados y que precisamente, como decía el comunicado o el saludo que nos dieron los de la guardería ABC, nosotros no dialogamos con nuestros verdugos. Es totalmente contradictorio pedirle justicia a los mismos que aplican la ley a su conveniencia. Y para muestra solamente un botón: a la esposa de José Luis Abarca la han arraigado únicamente, y a los compañeros que se manifestaron el 20 de noviembre inmediatamente los mandaron a cárceles de máxima seguridad solamente por haber quebrado un vidrio o por haber incendiado una puerta, acusándolos de los más altos crímenes. He ahí cómo se aplica la ley, y por eso no creemos ya en esta legalidad. Por eso queremos romper con la legalidad existente y fundar otra, porque esta ya no nos sirve a nosotros, ya no defiende los intereses del pueblo, y tenemos que entenderlo así. Y creo que este es el mejor lugar para decirlo.
Y esto es todo en español. Entonces, en inglés, it's time for Bathrob Spears Broadsides, the New Year's Day Show 2015. Welcome to another year. I'm Robert Norse, and this show will be with you for 2 hours here. We are live, in case you want to call in, 427-3772. We may try to make contact with Robert Aguirre in San Jose to find out how the jungle folks are doing over there. Those are the homeless people who've been driven away from their shelters in order to deal with the environmental questions in the city. Obviously, they're just not considered part of the environment. But let's begin the show, and hopefully you'll join us.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of bread lines, tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines, dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance, there's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. I want a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle.
And that was Pins and Needles, Sing Me a Song of Social Significance, and maybe, at least for the moment, a theme song for this show. In the studio with me is the well-bundled-up Doc Mike, who is also a free radio broadcaster for all of you who are in the know. You probably know that already. He does shows on medical issues and philosophical and spiritual issues, as well as the occasional homeless interview, which he brings into the studio. He himself is an outside man. And this kind of weather, that can be iffy, particularly if you're over the age of 65.
Well, that's in my RV, you mean.
You're in your RV. Well, you're still outside.
Okay.
So, yeah. So if you want to be a part of the New Year's Day show, tell me what's been happening. I didn't make it yesterday, and I guess neither did you, Mike, to the New Year's Eve DIY parade. I hear it was the smallest in its 10-year history, sadly.
Too bad.
But it was still there, which was good. I understand Curtis Relaford was there with his big truck, which he double-length truck, which he takes every year off to Indian reservations and other places of disaster, such as, I guess, the hurricane area Katrina back in 2005, and other places as well. He's a target of local police, an African-American, and a jovial and passionate soul. The shrinking size of the DIY parade, of course it was rather cold last night, makes me, well, I was noticing last year when I was in the parade, and I've been in the parade, I think, almost every year since it began in 2005, 2006. I guess I'm concerned that people are falling away from this kind of celebration, and I don't know. Maybe it's economic conditions, maybe it's a change in priorities. Maybe it's a different makeup of the population. Maybe it's people feeling intimidated, though I was impressed how people responded at the December 9th City Council session. They certainly weren't intimidated there. For the first time in a decade or more, people rose up to challenge the City Council and its abusive, phony process with the Bearcat issue, which I found, frankly, very encouraging.
You started that movement, actually, because you were dissident initially, so you set the mood there, you know, speaking to the audience and turning your back, which they didn't like at all, and that set the mood for the whole thing.
Well, I think the issue was the real thing that really set the mood was the issue of the council's ignoring every single speaker who opposed this Bearcat armored personnel carrier labeled a rescue vehicle that the police department is getting through a Homeland Security grant, and didn't like the way it was being rushed, and hadn't heard about it except 3 days before, although the police department knew about it 6 months before, and they had been, you know, kind of either keeping it under wraps, or they haven't explained why they haven't why they didn't bring it forward earlier. But I think, you know, it is true that actually there was a speaker before me who turned his back on the council, not, I think, intending to show disrespect or even a critical attitude toward the council, but simply to refer to and speak to the people in the audience as well. And this, of course, offended Mayor Robinson, or she felt that was inappropriate, and she directed this guy to turn around. And what bothered me was not so much that she said that. She does that all the time. I mean, she's quite free with her directives, as most mayors are. She's not unusual in that regard. But that he responded to it with such alacrity, with such submissiveness. And this isn't really a commentary on him either, but upon the process that was happening, the kind of subservience to a bogus authority that I found to be really angering. And I'm particularly concerned about this because for 12 years, I and several attorneys have been engaged in a lengthy court fight and have been upheld by the courts that essentially is predicated on the principle that a violation of a council rule is not a disruption unless it actually disrupts. So, for instance, if you do spend a lot of time talking off topic on something where there's only a limited time and you're supposed to talk on topic, that can presumably be called a disruption, and legitimately you can be told shut up or we'll drag you out, I suppose. I mean, in the ultimate extremity. But just because, you know, you don't wear your hat or put your tape recorder in the right place or are wearing the wrong kind of clothes or you're acting like a bunch of fascists, mock Nazi salute, as I've done in a couple of times in the past, that can't be the basis, particularly since it's a free speech issue, of suggesting the council meeting is disrupted if you, as a council member or a mayor, choose to disrupt the meeting yourself by stopping the process. And that is something I really have been trying to get the public to understand and appreciate, because I think that the public is really, particularly on homeless issues, profoundly ignored and dismissed by the city council. You might even say casually, cavalierly, but certainly regularly dismissed. So when I got up there and intentionally did turn my back on the council and was chastised for doing so, and instead of being intimidated, I turned to them and I said, you know, why are you interrupting my speech? I'm trying to make my, you know, right to speak as a speaker. And then I continued my speech. She said, we would like it if you'd talk to us. I said, well, I understand that. And I turned my back on them again. And I explained to them and to the community that this was a form of free speech. And that showing disrespect for the council's behavior in this way doesn't disrupt the council, but it definitely shows you how I feel about it. And there's no basis for trying to shut me down, as they did. Their next attempt was to shut me down was they recessed and went to the back room. At that point, of course, we continued the meeting at the request of the audience. I was prepared to leave, but they wanted to hear me continue the speech I was making. And we did a little dialogue back and forth until the council came back and essentially cleared the room. Well, they continued their so-called discussion, which involved, I think, getting the police chief or officials from the police department to explain that they had to do it because they had a deadline, without, at least to my ears, explicitly stating the date of that deadline. Deputy Chief Steve Clark did say they had to do it before the end of the year. But he said it in such equivocal terms without being specific as to the actual date. He may have, you know, he may have been quite accurate, but it wasn't clear to me, and I've become increasingly concerned because I've sent Public Records Act requests in, and I can't get an answer from them. I want to see the documents that show what the date deadline is for the city council's accepting this Homeland Security grant. And if it's the end of the year, then they had a legitimate reason for pressing on.
although I think they shouldn't have for a number of reasons, not just because they're militarizing the police, but because the process was a bad process. They didn't let the community know about it in a sufficient advance time. So we don't really know what's happening there. But I thought that was very encouraging. And I think that there's a plan to come back to City Council and have everybody show up in massive numbers on that day to express how they feel. I'm hoping that that concern about the Bearcat can be extended to broader concerns about the police department's use of force policies, its tendency to class and racially profile, its enforcement of unconstitutional laws that criminalize poor people, a whole variety of issues which I brought up at the last Huff meeting. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, for those who don't know. We're a civil rights group. And we're going to have another protest at Cop Corner, as I call the corner of Laurel and Center Streets, which is right next to the police station, right across from Loudon Nelson. That'll be next Wednesday at 2 o'clock for all of you hardy souls who don't mind showing up with warm coats. I don't think it's going to rain, although I think there's rain predicted for one day next week. I hope it's not Wednesday, but we'll see about that. In any case, let's hear a little musical interlude, and perhaps your phone calls, 427-3772, and then some street interviews, and away we'll go. Or perhaps we won't go. Hang on, let me see if I can deal with this questionable CD player, which seems to be a little cranky. Let's see if we can...
Oh, it's too wired.
Let's see what we can do here.
Two wires missing.
And let's give this a try.
College.
seem to agree is that the economy is run by the head of the class. The cream of the cream and the stars on the sea no better than you, so don't be a jackass. Don't question or hinder unlimited growth. Don't wonder if more for the rich should be fair. They're smarter than you and they've taken the oath to sacred devotion to stockholdership. And it's working for them, so no, who can deny that more of the same is the best way to go? But it's circular logic, so don't even try. But I have a good look at who's running this show. History will guide us, geography will shine a light on what divides us, and this holy grand design. And the lessons to be learned, I could say what I'm decent. All those dividends and earnings have been working for the 1%.
And that was Michael Ward, working for the 1%. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. We are live, in case you want to call in, 427-3772. It's a cold night out there. I don't know if it's down to 32 tonight. Actually, there's one weather service that said it was. Another one said it was at 38. There has been a warming center open at the Red Church the last two nights, but I don't think it's open tonight, or I'm not advised that it is. San Jose has a warming center, which actually, I'm not sure what San Jose has. In fact, what I think I'm going to do is contact Robert Aguirre over there and see if we can get a report from him shortly on that. But before I do that, let's turn to an interview I did in Berkeley a few days ago with J.C. Orton. J.C. is a Catholic worker guy who's been working for years in various projects around the Berkeley community. I know him through his distribution of the monthly homeless newspaper, Street Spirit, which I go up there every month to pick up and bring back here, and which you can find if you want to read it, or if you want to distribute it. If you're a person who's poor or outside and you want to sell it, you can make a buck per paper. We don't get any profit off it at all, but the vendors get all the profit. You can find it at the Sub Rosa Cafe. That's at 703 Pacific in downtown Santa Cruz. And you can also find it by getting in touch with me on the Huff line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And, some good articles, some local articles by Steve Plaich. He has one in every issue. I don't always agree with his perspective, but he's out there pitching in his own way, as are other activists that I've had disagreements with in the past and continue to disagree with, but respect nonetheless for much of the work they do. Brent Adams, for instance, who's done a lot of work publicizing and gathering up workers for the warming center, which, as I said, was open two nights last night. Let's hear a bit from JC and me interviewing him a couple days ago, and maybe from you. If you have any thoughts about it, please do call in 427-3772, 427-3772.
It is about 15 to 8. I'm having in the aftermath of a meal with J.C. Orton, who is a distributor of the Street Spirit newspaper and also an employee of the Catholic Worker. Hello, J.C.
Hello, Robert.
And J.C., you've been doing this work with the Catholic Worker for how long now?
Well into the second decade.
And you've also been for 3 years the man distributing the American Friends Service Committee monthly homeless publication, Street Spirit, which is sold on the streets by homeless people for fun and profit.
And that's why I do it. I need it for the money. I make a lot of big bucks doing this.
And you were telling me about your excessive salary. You want to kind of clue us in as to your luxury living?
Yeah, I grovel. I'm used to it. No problem.
So I think he's evading my question, folks.
Yeah, you figure that out.
So, but he doesn't get paid much. He's already told me what it is. I'm not going to blow his cover. But it's certainly far less than you were getting at a previous job, right?
Yes. I probably paid more in taxes at my older job than I received total for the new job. Yes.
And, you know, you drive around town in this beat-up, huge van, which recently broke down completely. But your work was so appreciated by the people that saw you do it, or they felt so afraid that they might have to pay somebody three times your salary to take over that job, or three more people, that they actually unsolicited gave you enough money to pay for $3,500 in repairs to your van, right?
Yeah, well, that means it's what you call community, not just a bunch of people that are fractured and not knowing what the hell they're going to do with their lives, but people that saw there was some goodness in what was happening, and as a result of that, they said, well, if we can help the people or the person or whatever it is that's helping others, even though we don't get a tax write-off or any brownie points, but if we do the right thing, then what they do, not so much they're giving money, what they're doing is they're joining the community. And that's what we need. We need community rather than just, you know, people running around wondering, well, why does it have to be that way? What can we do? This is something that people are actually doing. They're getting involved. They get involved using their dollars. They get involved by coming out and feeding the homeless. They come out by changing their attitudes. And when we finally are able to change everybody's mind about the homeless and their attitudes, then I'm going to retire. But I don't think that's going to happen in my lifetime.
You'll be very tired before you retire.
I'm tired now.
Well, you can believe it, although you maintain a very... gruff is perhaps one word that I would use to describe you, but it's more energetic veneer, persona. In any case, describe a typical day for you as a Street Spirit distributor, fielding stuff, and also this is only one of your jobs, right?
Yeah. Well, let's start off with an interesting day, or perhaps an interesting month. Terry Messman, who's a great guy, occasionally gets a Street Spirit out a little bit late, sometimes 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days late into the month.
He's the editor of Street Spirit.
Yes, exactly. And by this time, I'm getting 50 to 60 calls a day from the vendors. A lot of them have phones, believe it or not. They call, say, J.C., where's the paper? And I say, well, it's supposed to be in tomorrow and whatever it is. So I feel like a telephone operator, telephone answering machine sometimes. It gets a little bit grating, but I put up with it, and eventually our paper comes out. I got two or three places I go every morning, and I have set hours. People know they can come in and get their papers. I go over to a little coffee shop, Pete's Coffee, on Chattuck Avenue, and people will... know that I'm in there. It's between 7:30 and 9, always there, 6 days a week. And I'll bring in, especially at the beginning of the month, I'll bring in maybe 5 or 6 or 7 bundles of newspapers and my little sign-in sheet. And I sit down, I get my coffee, and I set it down. And by the time I get to my coffee, it's like, oh, let's dump this stuff out. It's dead cold because I get constantly interrupted. And in an effort to provide the depth of service, I need to focus on taking care of the people. They need a new badge, you know, for identification, or they need to give me some specific information that they want to share with me, or they have an extra need, and I spend the time with them. The beginning of the month's a little crazy, and then as the month progresses, it's not quite so bad. But these aren't people that necessarily that bend the street spirit. These are people that that I've been bumping into for the last 5, 10, 15 years of my life here, some even longer, a few of them a little shorter. What I do is I work with the chronic homeless, and they seem to be good people for getting the word out, because not only do they vend the paper, the stories are about them. It's real.
So how many vendors do you have? I know you seem to keep a rather meticulous records that you carry with you, and on the little device, the video audio device you have, cell phone, whatever. How many people are vending Street Spirit in Berkeley and Oakland every month?
Well, they go as far as Martinez. I got one woman who takes the Street Spirit to Colorado when she goes there to visit her mother or something. I never can quite get the story right. Since I've started, we've signed up about 350, 400 people. But at any one time, it's about 105, 110 active vendors. Beyond that, people sell the paper for a week or two, and then you find out, well, you know, you have to sort of stick with it to make it happen. So I say about 100.
So there are actually 100 people regularly who sell, get a bundle of Street Spirits, say 50 or 100 Street Spirits, and sell them for whatever they can get. But the general, I guess the accepted price is at least a dollar.
A buck. And then you have Christmas time and Thanksgiving, where people tend to be a bit more generous. So you definitely want to make sure you get the paper out on time during November, December, because this is an avenue to make a buck. Selling a Street Spirit, but people aren't necessarily going to give you a dollar. They might give you a 5 or 10 or 15 or something like that. Sort of the idea of strike when the iron is hot. But I need to say this, and this is important. People will sell the Street Spirit, and there is the dollar that's involved with that. But what happens again is this idea, again, of community. You go and find a spot where you have your regular people that come by and see you, and maybe they talk to you and exchange a dollar for a paper. Maybe they'll bring you out a cup of coffee, or they get to know you, and they become part of your community. You become part of their community. And this is the bigger story about Street Spirit. Not the paper, not the dollar, but the depth of community. Because without community, we're just a bunch of people, sort of like lemmings, that are running around figuring out what the guy in front of them is supposed to do, following him, and eventually all jumping off the cliff.
Now, you probably are aware that in San Francisco, Street Sheet, sold by the Coalition on Homelessness, has been doing this actually for longer than Street Spirit. About, I don't know, 7 or 8 years longer. Well, 4 or 5 years longer. You feel that they have a similar approach?
Well, the big difference that I hear about and that I see is that when you get your papers over in San Francisco for a Street Sheet, which is to say not Street Spirit, you get a certain amount of papers, but I think they're charging 10 or 20 cents a piece, so you will have an investment tied in it. So you don't leave your papers along and get up and come back and not worry about them. We'll go and get some more because you're having to spend money to buy them. Terry decided many years ago, the editor, decided many years ago that we didn't want to have that money thing involved, from at least from our side, that the people, if there's going to be any money, it's going to be between the people that are actually vending the paper and the people they're making connection with. And it seems
That was the Dude Man, a group that was playing on the Santa Cruz streets yesterday on Pacific Avenue, and they're attracting quite a crowd. People were dancing on the sidewalk, shockingly enough. Not illegal at this time, but they were a larger-than-allowed group, and I'm glad they were playing. You can get their stuff for $10 on Pacific Avenue. It's, again, the Dude Man. Let's hear some more of J.C. Orton in Berkeley, distributor of Street Spirit, and his perspective on things.
Seems to work out well. It's an imperfect world. It is about 15 to 8. I'm having in the aftermath.
Little technical problem there. Bear with us.
Distributors for Street Sheet, but a decade and a half ago, police were going after some of the distributors by trying to demand a license from them, refuse to allow them to distribute papers in various corners. Have you had this kind of problem here?
Well, one of the things that makes the Street Spirit the way it is that it is not being sold. Look at the front of the paper there, and it says there's a dollar donation. And people say, well, where does the donation go? And I said, well, who are you handing the money to? I said, well, that person. I said, well, that's who it's for. It's to help them out. If they were just begging and there was nothing connecting them, just that, you know, give me a dollar, then it could be said that they are panhandling and the different laws that against panhandling. With Street Spirit, as opposed to some other paper.
And I'm going to interrupt here briefly because we have had this problem in Santa Cruz. And it's different, or perhaps J.C. is maybe laws have changed in Berkeley. If you were around 30 or 40 years ago in the height of the 60s and 70s, which many of you weren't, but some of us were, there were newspapers called the Berkeley Barb and the Berkeley Tribe that were being sold on the streets of Berkeley and actually sold. And people did not need vendors' licenses or anything like that, nor did they have to claim they were part of some community effort or some we'll take it for donation only, which is to some extent how people on Pacific Avenue often get along with the police when they want to essentially sell their crafts on Pacific Avenue. Though, in fact, courts have actually ruled that if you are selling your CDs or selling your artwork, you can attach a price to it, and you don't need to get a license. although, of course, they can regulate your time, place, and manner to death, which is part of the Dots for Dodos stuff that I've talked about, the new performance cages that have been set up on Pacific Avenue that I'll have more to talk about in future shows. But indeed, in Santa Cruz, the street spirit was... vendors were attacked by the Santa Cruz Police Department, physically attacked. I mean, let's say they were stopped, they were taken into custody, they were jailed, and we had to essentially haul up then-Chief Steve Belcher, that was the police chief in the late 90s, and demand that he stop that. In fact, I just kept selling it myself when Steve Argue was arrested and taken to jail and then brutalized in jail in the fall of 1998 for selling street spirit in front of New Leaf Market. So it has become an issue. It hasn't been an issue in Santa Cruz recently. First of all, you don't have a lot of vendors selling it. You have a few. We don't have vendors badges here in Santa Cruz. We certainly don't have 100 vendors. If we're lucky, we have one or two. Sometimes we've had, I think, as many as 10. But it's more a form, I think, a source of information and a possibility for people to use, which, as I said, you can get it at the Sub Rosa Cafe. It's available in bundles of 10. Just take 10 copies and go out and sell them and keep any money you make. It's a legal activity, a legal, not illegal activity, in Santa Cruz, and I recommend it. Let's hear some more from J.C. Orton and Berkeley from a few days ago. December 27th.
We actually generate a badge. The badge has got some information about what's going on. It's got their picture on it and their name. So if there's a fuss, you say, oh, I know, that's Jack Jones. And you got a picture to make sure it's actually the right person, as opposed to something just scribbled on down on the back of paper. And they're told to wear their badge. That way there's a certain amount of responsibility built right into it. If you're selling street spirit and you get nasty or you get too aggressive and you're wearing a badge, and people say, well, it's so-and-so, and I'll get a call and I'll go over there and see if I can try to straighten things out. And usually I'm able to work it out.
How frequently does that happen?
Oh, I guess every few months there's somebody who's got something difficult going on, somebody who's a little bit too aggressive. In most of the situation, it's between the vendors. The vendor will say, well, this is my spot. I've been doing this spot all the time, and somebody else will come there and arrive a half an hour before a regular vendor's spot. When he comes, he says, well, so what I try to do is get the different people that are in contention over, quote, their spot to work it out among themselves. I don't want to come down and say, you have to do this, you must do that. But I tell them they must do. I said, well, you must come to some sort of an agreement. Share your spot. You don't own that spot any more than somebody else doesn't own that spot. Share your spot. If there's money to be made, if there's connection to be made, you know, you're all part of the same community. And given time, sometimes you got to, you know, do two or three interventions to make it happen. It eventually works its way out.
So I know that in some localities, even with all this, I don't have that information. I know different street newspapers across the country. Some of them have the badges and the photos and the ID and, you know, the hopefully cozy relationship with the police department, or at least a tolerant relationship with the police department. But there is, I've just noticed, although there are exceptions, a lot of antipathy between law enforcement and homeless people, in part because law enforcement is entrusted with enforcing anti-homeless laws. And this naturally does not make homeless people eager to agree, essentially, to their own, I don't want to say extermination, that's a little heavy, but, you know, essentially pushing them out of public spaces, denying them the right to sleep at night, things of that sort.
Well, as we all know, being homeless is illegal. You don't have a place to take a pee, you don't have a place to rest your head, so you have to take care of things as it comes. You can't stay up 24 hours. You can't hold your bladder back forever. You have to be human. And the way the laws are put together, it doesn't go and examine this humanity. It looks at the hardcore, you can't do this, you can't do that. But it's done from the standpoint of somebody who has housing. When you don't have housing, all these different things that you have, your stuff that you have there, visible, The fact that you sleep outside, the fact that you might have to pee in a corner, whatever the case may be, you create enough toilets for everybody, that'd be great. But what do? You go to the library. No. You go to the library, library has a restriction. Can't carry in more than two bags. So what do? You leave your extra bag outside, you go inside, you take a pee, you come back out, your third bag is gone when you come back. Well, what do I want to do? Do I want to take a pee or want to hang on to my sleeping bag? It's a difficult situation.
You end up peeing on your sleeping bag.
Ah, yes. But what do when you run out of sleeping bags? You come and visit me because I've got sleeping bags. To give you an idea of the sleeping bags, we came out on... we give out sleeping bags every Sunday, by the way. About 10 or 12 at the different meals. But Christmas Eve, we got some people that wanted to get rid of some money and look for a nice tax deduction. Really, what they wanted to do is they wanted to help the folks out. I go and work the different groups that I work with. And we distributed 50 sleeping bags here on Christmas Eve. And it's not a Christmas gift in the sense that we do this stuff all year round. We're not going to save it up for Christmas and try to look good, and then the day after Christmas, you know, forget about it. It's more of a continuing effort, and that's what makes it different for us, as opposed to just trying to do it once or twice a year, as much as we can, or as much as people can. This idea of doing it on a continuous basis is like anything. We breathe every day, we sleep every day, and we need to care every day. Once or twice a year is good. 365, 24/7. Better, maybe a little bit eccentric, but definitely better.
You know, sleeping, as we know, is a key aspect to living. You need to do it to live. And, of course, for homeless people, in many localities, Santa Cruz notoriously. I don't know about Berkeley. I don't know if it has the same sleeping ban. I don't think it does. But in Santa Cruz, it's illegal after 11 o'clock at night to fall asleep on any public property, on much private property, or in your own vehicle, even if it's legally parked. So it's criminal to engage in the most natural human functions.
I'll take away the other place. Over there?
And it looks like that's it for the interview with J.C. Orton in Berkeley. Let's have a little musical break. And perhaps your phone calls. You can call in if you are calling in on New Year's Day. You'll reach a live person in the studio. And the call-in number here is 831-427-3772. So give me a call and we'll talk. How was the DIY parade? Mike and I are both wondering. We missed the parade and we heard it was small, as I mentioned, but it doesn't mean it didn't have some nice energy and some interesting incidents. So get in touch, 427-3772. Plus, let me know what's been happening outside the parade. One piece of information I'm really interested in is you may notice the sidewalks of Pacific Avenue have been defaced with little marks. There are red marks, there are yellow marks, and there are blue marks. The yellow marks indicate you can perform in there, but you can't vend or table. I think the red marks mean you can vend or table, but you can't perform, and the blue means you can do all three. But if you go outside those areas and try to do any of those things on any sidewalks in the zoned areas mentioned in Santa Cruz, which include Pacific Avenue, Soquel, Mission, the Boardwalk area, Beach Street, you are illegal. So in essence, what you have is essentially a First Amendment ban on tabling, vending, performing with an open guitar case on all areas of town except those limited cages areas on Pacific Avenue. Although it may be that the city has set up some marked areas on Soquel and on Mission Streets, which I'd like to know about. If you have any ideas, information, have you seen anything one way or the other, call me on air at 427-3772, or call me off air on the Huff line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUFF.
Sleepless again last night, and I guess it's all a cliche, but I've got a lot on my mind, all the things you used to say. edge, you thought you could love me, but I guess you weren't really sure. I need someone who doesn't to question how much love that I am worth. But I know you are sorry. I can see it in your eyes. Still, I wish you'd given me flowers instead of telling me lies. And maybe I shouldn't have told you. Still be wondering what could be. Is it better to be alone, unhappy? At least know you're not the one for me. But I guess it doesn't really matter, 'cause you've gone and torn it all apart. Now you're asking me for forgiveness, and I'm trying to find it in my heart. I know you are sorry. I can see it in your eyes. Still, I wish you'd given me flowers instead of telling me lies. I'm not a princess. I'm not perfect. I'll never be that girl. I won't change for you. I might hurt. I never will. I'm not her. I'm not her. Now we're at the crossroads. Do we stay or go our separate ways? Either choice, I don't really have you. And I have to live with that for the rest of my days. I know you are sorry. And I can't see it in your eyes. Still, I wish you giving me flowers instead of telling me lies. When I'm around you, I can't breathe. Your presence kills me inside. Still, I wish you'd given me flowers instead of telling me lies. And I know you are sorry. Still, I wish you'd given me flowers instead of telling me lies.
And that's Aria, Instead of Lies. Another street singer I ran into a couple days ago on the street, selling her own stuff. Reverberation Aria, Facebook is how you can find Aria Brown. That's her name. And this isn't a commercial for her, but that's in case you like her music. There's where you can find it. She belts it out, and she doesn't miss a note. Impressive. And lyrics, maybe a little sentimental for me, but I like the sound. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, also known as Bathrobes Pierre Robert. In the studio with me is Doc Mike, who has his own radio show on medical matters. Monday and Tuesday, is it?
Right, 6 to 8 and 7 to 8.
6 to 8 on Monday, 7 to 8 on Tuesday, for those of you who are following this. Again, reminding you, Free Radio is, again, in a tentative position. Its transmitter is about to be not just moved, but disassembled, because we have no place to go. So if you know of a place in the downtown area, actually somewhat slightly outside the downtown area, where there's a tree or a second story or someplace where essentially a power source, please get in touch with Free Radio at freakradio.org. You can also make donations there. You can also check out the radio schedule. There's some shows archived there. My shows, the ones you're listening to, are archived rather at the Huff website. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And that's at huffsantacruz.org. And you'll be able to hear all kinds of shows, as well as check out the latest stories, get on the Huff email, and maybe help with our attempt to raise the issues in town that hopefully will someday catch the attention of the conscienced majority, or minority for that matter. We'll be doing a protest and demonstration at Cop Corner, which I'll be talking more about on Sunday. That's right outside the police station. This will be our fourth, where we're trying to stop the racial profiling and the selective targeting of homeless people that is going on downtown and all around the town. Specifically, we've documented in the case of Officer Barnett, and we're trying to get the stats on Officer Bill Azua, who we've gotten the citations for, but curiously unavailable to us so far is the race of each of the people he's ticketed. This is something that the police department of Santa Cruz does not keep track of in a systematic way. I mean, it is written on their tickets if you individually go through each citation, but you have to do that in order to find out whether there's some kind of racial profiling going on. And what with the protests happening across the country and still happening, it's an important issue. Thank God, one that's not dying. In fact, last night, 29 people were arrested in Oakland, according to the relatively uninformative and sounds like pro-police San Francisco Gate website. A woman was arrested on Broadway in Oakland after she and another dozen others were corralled by police. 100 protesters walked around several blocks near Frank Ogawa Plaza. That's Oscar Grant Plaza, for those of us who know the how it's been rechristened in downtown Oakland, to call attention to police violence on Wednesday, December 31st, 2014. The mostly quiet march was broken up by police after bottles and fireworks were hurled at the police, according to this. Again, could be, but it also could be there were provocations by the police. And I don't know, you know, it's the news suddenly is not the issues that these people were protesting. The specifics of the violence and killings by the Oakland Police Department, how African Americans are treated there, how poor people are treated there, but whether the protest involved any kind of broken windows or thrown bottles or firecrackers. But if cops shoot down unarmed blacks, well, you know, that's something that, you know, let's instead have a big funeral for two dead police officers in New York City. That's much more important to focus on that. Based on the mythology that the police are protecting the community rather than occupying the community, which unfortunately is, I think, where we're at. Not in all cases, not in every situation you run into, but I think generally speaking, the police departments of this country, and Santa Cruz specifically, are not accountable to the community. They don't really have any respect for the community. They don't live in the community. If they engage in criminal behavior, they are not prosecuted by the authorities in the community. If they use force against the community, they conceal their records so that you can't tell who they did it to, when they did it, what they used, and why they said they did it, what the hospital records were. I've been trying to get that information, and it has been kept from me so far. And then, of course, there's the militarized vehicle, which is really just a symbol. I mean, I've said this to people fighting these protests, I mean, who are going to be protesting this on January 13th, and I'll be one of them at the Santa Cruz City Council on Tuesday when they have their first council meeting of the year. But this is, the police don't need Bearcats to go after homeless people as they've been doing for decades, but more intensely, for sure, in the last year or two, just destroying their very primitive shelters, seizing their warm clothing and property and sleeping bags. Again, not done in a systematic way necessarily, but done with sufficient frequency that it comes to our attention. People come and tell us about it. Are these people lying to us? I don't think so. In any case, At least 29 people, the protests are continuing nationally, were arrested during New Year's Eve police brutality protests, police said Thursday. Again, this is all from the police's point of view. Less than an hour after 130 people made their way up Broadway in a peaceful march, some of those in the crowd, quote, this is the police department talking, began throwing bricks and off and bottles at officers, committed acts of graffiti, set illegal fireworks off, and threw trash cans in the street and on the sidewalk, said Officer Johanna Watson, a police spokeswoman. Oakland police then requested mutual aid from neighboring police agencies and the California Highway Patrol. Those arrested represented almost one-fourth of those participating in the protest. Arrests were connected to various crimes. Notice they say people weren't charged with various crimes, but connected to, including vandalism, failure to disperse, resisting arrest, and assault with a deadly weapon. And this is all supposed to, of course, justify, rationalize what the police are doing, and assure the community that these protesters are up to no good.
They should have called in the tanks.
And Mike here said they should have called in the tanks. Thank you very much, Mike. And there was another situation that happened in St. Louis. I guess it was yesterday. I will read that to you as well. There was a takeover, an attempted takeover of a police station. Actually, it was 2 days ago. And the article in the New York Times reads, the St. Louis police used pepper spray against several protesters Wednesday when they tried to rush into police headquarters. And I would continue. Here we go. Protesters posted an eviction notice on the door of the police station, citing reasons Chief Sam Dotson and others should be removed. When several protesters tried to enter the building, officers blocking the entrance eventually used pepper spray to push the crowd out. I want to remind you, this is a public building that should be open to the community. And for the police department to lock its own building ill serves the community and shows no respect for the First Amendment, or, and more importantly, the cause that these protesters are speaking up for, which is something the police should be joining in, which is to say fair and just treatment of all people in the St. Louis-Ferguson area, and the elimination of racial prejudice, racial profiling, and police violence against those less powerful people in the community. This is something the police department, which is given special powers in our society, needs to either have internalized, or we have to create a whole new situation where there is a whole different approach to dealing with issues of community safety and community need. Because once you have a group of people who are acting like thugs in uniforms with the support of the courts, you have, what am I going to say? Fascism, a bad story, police abuse, all these things can, you know, just cover it at one time or another. Protesters in St. Louis said they wanted to occupy the police station for more than 4 hours, representing the time Michael Brown's body was in the street after he was fatally shot by a Ferguson officer. That was Darren Wilson, August 9th. Five people were arrested, four of them protesters charged with peace disturbance and trespassing. These are the laws that would be used, how they could trespass in a public building. Of course, trespass is a nice, it's the hook being used to go after the Santa Cruz, the final four of the Santa Cruz 11, who are still being facing trial this coming summer. That includes Brent Adams, Gabriella Ripley Phipps, Angel Alcantara, and Cameron Lorando. And their crime, of course, is a protest against the major fraud criminal, Wells Fargo Bank, which is continuing its activities, which had a vacant leased building, which is still vacant and leased at 75 River Street. But the trespass charge is a nice one they can use. The implication being, this isn't really public property. This is the police department's property. They use the same stuff to keep people off of City Hall grounds at night, the library grounds at night, the county areas at night around the courts, even though these are our public buildings. There may be some justification for keeping people outside the buildings, although I have a question about that too, but certainly not prohibiting them from public protest or just socializing outside these government buildings that our taxpayer dollars, whoopie-doo, pay for. a counter-protester in the St. Louis police department occupation who yelled racial slurs at protesters was arrested on a charge of third-degree assault. So, it hasn't ended. The anger is still in the country. The demand for change is still there and spreading across the nation. And we have it in Santa Cruz, too. So come on down to Cop Corner on Wednesday, and we will raise the issue here again in Santa Cruz so that those who have been abused or those who don't like the abuse going on can learn they're not alone and stand up together with each other and can see that there's some real issues here that are not being addressed and that need to be addressed. Let's have another musical break.
Is winding road. Whoa.
Well, I would guess that one by the Dude Man was called Diamond Row, or Ms. Diamond Road, I'm not sure which. But it was what it was. Again, lots of dancing in the streets with that group. So 427-3772 is the number to call if you want to call in, and you're listening on the 1st of January, which is today, 2015. I'm going to play some street interviews now from Pacific Avenue. I think the this was 3 days ago on December 28th. Let's listen in.
Aria is a portrait person with his portrait sort of burned into wood, and he is in one of the two zones, the two red zones that is actually on the sidewalk. He's slightly outside the zone, but I guess maybe it's originally, you know, the first few days of the ordinance and no one's hassling. We have another person actually inside the red zone, which is across from the Synergy or Get Clothing. How's it going?
Of course, I'm talking about the zones on Pacific Avenue, the little boxes, the performance pens that now are quite visible as you walk up and down Pacific.
Here. Any street reports for free radio? Doing well? Yeah? No hassles for this and that? Good. Thanks. And that's from, looks like a bracelet seller. We have the local whale calendar person in another zone that's kind of couched right next to Betty's Eat-In. Actually, it's in front of an area where previously there would have been illegal to be because it's within 14 feet of a sidewalk cafe, 14 feet of intersection, and also between the intersection and the curb. And here we have some legal guitarists, kind of. I'm not sure you're scrunched in enough here. So how's it going? Any hassles?
A little bit. Not really, though.
And by that, that's good. And you were sitting outside the zone illegally on Pacific Avenue. Oh, I know, but it's illegal to sit within 14 feet of a building. Hello there, Pooch.
Oh, really?
No,
well,
ignore what I...
I think this is about 15, 14.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes.
Yeah,
she's 14 feet from a building.
Yeah,
shocking. So you slid through the...
Slipping through the cracks, right about there.
What's your name, guitar man?
Domino.
If you wish.
Domino.
And Domino, how's Pickens today?
Eh, all right.
Seem mellow about the whole thing, but not terribly excited.
No, no, it's okay. It's okay.
Is this dog related to you in any way?
That's my cool brother. He's in a dog suit.
Really?
Yeah.
And what is her his name?
His name's Floyd.
Floyd! Is that you, Floyd? He looks wary.
Yeah, a little bit, you know. A little bit. We're all a little wary.
That's true. I'm going to listen to your associate here. What's the name of our other man guitarist here?
Ah, that would be Pinger.
All right. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Jailhouse gets empty. Rudy gets plenty. The bottom stick gets shorter. Rudy gets taller. I can't fight against the youth. The co is strong. And we're rude, rude people. I can't fight against the youth. The co is strong. And we're rude, rude people. I said when I was a youth in 1983 was the best day of my life. Had the 89 vision. We didn't fuss or no fight. When all the little daughters wanna be my wife. With that rhythm playing on my guitar, on my guitar. I had to be there, I had to be there, I had to be there, had to be there. With that rhythm playing, know that I'm gonna be there. Oh,
we have a yellow zone in front of Oh My Soul, another guitar man here.
Bien, 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 bien. Por los derechos civiles. Los derechos civiles por los hombres, por la gente, por todo tipo, por todo.
Oh, gracias,
señor. Tú mucho hablas.
¿Cómo se llama usted?
Se llama Luis.
Luis, ¿qué pasa
me
con
gusta
usted?
Me gusta mucho cómo tú eres muy inteligente.
Oh, gracias, señor.
Hablas por la gente, ya de veras, la gente que sufre acá abajo, la mera abajo. Y me da gusto de que tú estás haciendo una cosa muy bonita.
Entiendo un poco.
A ellos no les gusta a ellos, porque ellos cambian sus leyes a cada rato. Unas leyes que no
se pueden echar a visión,
son,
esta cosa.
No son para nosotros, son para la gente rica nada más, para la gente pobre nada.
Gracias, señor.
Para nosotros nada.
Gracias.
We're having Grateful Dead dance tonight and New Year's Eve.
We're talking with
Morgan.
Morgan, you have your
djembe.
Your djembe with you. Have you been playing downtown?
Yes, I have.
Inside the performance pens.
Yes.
How do you like those or not?
I'm just learning about this. I've been away for a couple weeks and it's all new to me. And I'm just, you know, whatever I follow what the guitar players do.
Okay. Well. Follow on and remember to hug me every time you see me.
Tell me your name.
I'm Robert.
Robert. Happy New Year, Robert.
You too. So I see that the spots in front of Surf Life and the Coffee Roasting Company, a large open space, accounting for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, looks like about 35, 70 feet long is without any kind of performance space. I'm wondering if they've gone to the merchants and asked them. Inside the Blue Zone, another guitarist man.
Are you recording?
Yes, sir. What's up?
Okay, so yesterday?
We're talking with Anonymous?
Lion, Tony Lion.
Hey, Tony.
So, I'm walking down the street, and I'm in the middle of talking to a few of my friends because my dog is sick. It's kind of severe, but that's a whole other story. But I'm hanging out. I'm actually really busy. And this first alarm guy, I believe his name is Bob, but I don't really know. One of my friends might know, but we'll check that out in a second. He walks by and says, "You're a fucking idiot." And I was like, "Bro, watch out, there's children present." He's like, "I don't care, you're a fucking idiot." I said, "Well, maybe I'm not as educated as you are. I'm willing to learn, but I don't swear in front of children, and I find that kind of disrespectful." And then he walks up and says, "I think you're full of bullshit." And he continues to swear in front of children.
Name of the guy?
Do you know that name of the first alum guy? Is it Bob?
No, I don't.
What is Bob?
He said you're a hopeless and a disgrace.
Yeah.
Doesn't he like about your behavior?
And that's what I asked him, because I was trying to be polite, talk to him. He just said that I think I'm above the law. I said I have a clean record, and I only have a few tickets for minor infractions. So I was like, I really don't think I'm above the law. I think my actions and the fact that I have a clean record can prove that. Because of my age, I'm 24 years old, you know. Anyway, he continues to insult me personally as if I wasn't a citizen or should be treated with respect. And I believe his job is to keep us safe. You know what I mean? So I continued on and told him that if anything were to happen, I would still die and fight and defend his life and his rights. And that, you know, I'd appreciate just a little bit of respect for that. And he
then gave you a hug.
No, he said, "You're full of bullshit," and continued to insult me personally, call me hopeless.
He wants you to be cowed and to surrender to his authority, and then he will perhaps forgive you.
I told him, you know, I didn't swear at him or anything. I said, "Maybe you need a passion." He said, "I'm very passionate about enforcing the municipal code, and you're breaking it right now because I was smoking a cigarette."
Ah, so you were a criminal smoker, eh?
I was smoking, but there was no children present while I was dragging the cigarette.
No, did he attempt to citizen arrest you or call the cops?
No, he's just very rude and mean and swore at me in front of children. And then he continued by saying, "Well, swearing in front of children is not against the law."
No, it's not.
I agree. But
abusing people when you're in a position of authority is an abuse of power.
I felt abused and disrespected. I actually thought about it for a few hours. I was like, wow, like that guy, like I tried to be nice to him so many times. He just, you know, he's out here in the streets and his job.
His name, I'd be curious to know who he is.
I'm sure you do know who he is, and I'll let you know that ASAP, because he doesn't deserve to be around these beautiful people at this point. Before I gave him leeway, but no, he's just a really rude and mean person. He doesn't deserve adopt authority around here. This is a beautiful place, Santa Cruz. We're friendly. We take care of one another. We don't really even need his existence or his job at this point.
And we've been talking with?
Tony Lyon.
A couple of comments about this. It is true, and I've often said, that police also have First Amendment rights. We all have First Amendment rights. Including the right to swear, even in front of children. And I'm often concerned that the children card is played by people going to city council to try to eliminate homeless people from areas because they might alarm the children, you know, that sort of thing. You know, and the drug users and the children and that sort of thing. But in fact, what's really here is an example of abuse of power, as I said in on the tape or on the audio. If a person in a uniform with a gun or a weapon, and I'm not sure actually if First Alarm carries weapons, I'm not sure if they have tasers or batons, I know they have radios, and they are essentially there to intimidate you with the potential use of force through their friends, the police, who can come and, you know, use they have lethal weapons. For them to abuse you with foul language, whether it's in front of children or not, is a way of sort of saying, see what kind of power I have and you don't. So bow down to my power or else. And it's the excuse that's used is the enforcement of these ridiculous municipal codes, which litter the law books in Santa Cruz and were created by merchant interests largely and police department interests to expand their powers, to give them more tools, you know, tools that they can use. And that we have to suffer under every day. If we don't suffer under them directly by police officers raising the issue around us, we have to worry about the fear that they will raise the issue around us. That we aren't inside the little box, or that we aren't 14 feet from the building when we sit down. All these absurd restrictions on what needs to be a far more free-spirited libertarian scene here. And that's something I've been fighting for, or at least talking about for many years. Let's hear some more of the street interview.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do people think of the performance pens? Any comments about this in these new spaces?
These are my favorites. This guy right here, Corumbretti's one of my favorite musicians out here.
You mean the segregation lines?
That's kind of what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of them? You're shaking it.
I feel like I'm back in 1950 with two different colored fountains.
I'm not a musician myself.
And what do you think of these lines? Are you happy with these spaces? What do you think?
You know, I think any line is just to give us knowledge that there are boundaries that have to be met, you know, in life. But the boundaries that are chosen for us sometimes aren't what we are. What am I looking for? We're not really susceptible to doing those things. Like, we shouldn't have to do those things. You know what I mean?
Those imposed upon you aren't
those you choose
yourself.
You telling me that this line right here, yes, I know that that's a line, and I know that that is there to keep me from going somewhere, because lines, you know,
stay inside your box.
Right, they mean boundaries. That's what lines mean. But it's like, why put them here? Why not put them somewhere where a person could potentially actually get hurt and die? Why put them where nobody could benefit or not benefit from it? You know? It serves no purpose.
Well, it puts you near the car, so you might step out in front of a car, perhaps.
I would step out in front of a car, and either a number of things could happen, actually, you know? Either that guy could just, like, keep going his merry way and plow right through me, you know? And I'm a casualty. Or he can stop and say, hey, yeah, if we just cross the street.
Indeed. And we've been listening to both the thoughts and the music of
Crumb Dread.
Thank you, Crumb Dread. Should be on free radio
This is one of my favorites right now, man. As I put my heart out to society, a prejudice that's enough to make my people see. We've been traveling down this dark road for too long, and the fact that you know makes it so wrong. We've been trained to turn against one another, but with all our old joke, we'll kill our own brother. So now it's our vote to come and try to take a stance against Smith and Wesson, the rebels to them brands. So why is to you here? Let's make tomorrow better. Instead of walking past a bunker and make your own sweater, let's pave the way for a brand new generation. Give the children a positive revelation. This is my solution to birth any revolution. We've got to change our ways. We've got to change our evil ways. This is our solution to birth any revolution. We've got to change our ways. We've got to change our evil ways. Our evil ways. Our evil ways. Yeah.
Problems, okay, cool.
Talking with
John Valley.
Go ahead, John.
I got medical issues that are chronic, and I'm terminally ill. I got airlifted, and they said, nothing we can do, what do you want? Ambulance 5 hours later, because I got a welfare check by the fire department, because I couldn't breathe, and I'm in pain with broken bones. And they say, terminally inoperable, chronic, high level 4 cancer, too bad. Here's the bus pass, 1:30 in the morning. The buses don't run till 6. Stuck out there in the middle of nowhere, nothing going on. For hours, frozen cold.
Where was this again?
Dominican Hospital. Okay. And it's no fun, no help, no love. So much for the Catholic and cancer Kratz Treatment Center. I don't know what to do. I can't keep going to Watsonville Community because it's just too damn far. I got no bus pass or no dollar to get there.
Indoors or outdoors?
I'm outdoors now, but I can't go to Watsonville Community because they keep. I had this heart problem, and there's no cardiologist there. So they send me over here to Dominican, and they don't want to heal. They don't want to hear me. They don't want to heal. They don't want to do nothing. They say, oh.
Who did you talk to? Do you remember?
I don't know, but I got escorted out both times by security. One time with Titania Stone, my case manager from Homeless Service Center at 115 Coral. And there were 5 security guards. She pushed the wheelchair, and we got a 5-man escort to the fucking bus stop.
You must be quite something.
I guess. Well, I, you know, I got anger management issues, and I don't like them telling me K-N-O-W. You know, no, fuck that. I know the answer, and if they take a Hippocratic oath to treat people.
Hippocratic oath.
Yeah, whatever, Hippocratic.
Hippocratic, as far as I'm concerned.
Hypocrites. So, they don't help.
I got, you're not rich enough, John. Come
bullshit.
On.
Bullshit, I got fucking VA, Medi-Cal, Medi-Cruz, and all kinds of medical insurances. I got fucking 5 houses in this county in my name. Well, my kids, well, it's in a living will, in a trust fund, the Happy Hippie Hobo Relief Fund.
But you don't have access to the houses?
Yeah, but there's nobody there. I don't like looking at the empty walls.
I got you.
You know, I'm lonely.
I can put this on free radio.
Not a problem, bro.
If you want
that, Robert.
Yeah, I know. Would you, what kind of treatment? You're looking for, obviously, for some decent company, but
yeah,
what kind of treatment are you looking for, if any?
Pulmonary.
What would that be?
Breathing, oxygen, nebulizer, so I can get treatments, inhalers, the right type, not just a steroid, something that give me open, immediate bronchial and lung issues, and nitroglycerin for my heart. And
did you request that the last 2 times you were Dominican?
And baby aspirin. I'm not looking for narcotics. I don't want any, you know, substances that are, you know, controlled per se.
What did they say when you asked for those things?
Not, talk to your primary care.
But if you're a man with all this wealth, all these houses, why can't you just go purchase this shit?
Because I need a prescription.
Right.
And
doctors are not sympathetic?
Nope.
And you can't get a private physician to do it?
I did Emmeline Street and HPHP, and Dr. Alice Coleman is my assigned primary care, but she's in a place where I can't go. I got a restraining order against HPHP and or 115 Coral.
Can you send someone in to have her come out to see you?
No, she won't do that.
Charming.
Yeah.
Well, John, I'm going to pass this on and say it sounds like a bunch of shit to me.
Yeah, it is, bro. I mean, I'm just one of several people that are getting no
shafted.
Love. No love.
Thank you, John.
You don't got a bus pass, do you?
I do not.
You looking? How long you can spare for a bus?
Might.
Oh, good. Now jump on.
And now we need a little music to come down off that.
My first, my last little romance. Went and took the chance, but wasn't long before I took the fall. Heart sank when I got your call. I remember the way it caressed your body. You acted like you didn't know it was coming, and I miss the sound of your heartbeat. But I guess with her I can't compete. Does she kiss your neck the way you lie? Does she tell you, baby, I miss you at night? Is she there for you when you need to cry? Does she bring your darkness to light, to light, to light? Break up, break down, fuck off, move on. Hold on, let go, shut up, go home. Break up, break down, fuck off, move on. Hold on, let go, shut up, go home. Go home. I'm so tired of giving my everything. What would it take for you to see that I was perfect and you'll never be as happy with her as you were with me? What hurts is you aren't thinking of me. You're a new little fantasy, but I can promise you one thing, that you are in everything I see, I see, I see. Break up, break down, fuck off, move on. Hold on, let go, shut up, go home. Break up, break down, fuck off, move on. Hold on, let go, shut up, go home. Took the biggest part of me, and I was hoping you would see what others couldn't do, but I guess it wasn't you. Wasn't you. Break up, break down, fuck up, move on. Hold on, let go, shut up, go home. Break up, break down, fuck up, move on. Hold on, let go, shut up, go home. And I'm moving on. And I'm moving on. And I'm moving on.
Yeah, and that was another by Aria called Move On. That's Aria Brown. And she's been on the streets recently, too. You might run into her if you go down to Pacific Avenue. That's where I found her a few days ago. Yesterday, or maybe it was today, maybe early in the morning. I guess it was at 1:30 in the morning. Is that? I guess that's when this came in. No, do I have this right? well, yesterday or today, I got this New Year's message from poet and activist Peter Marin, who you've probably heard on this station if you are a faithful, faithful listener. Peter Marin is a Santa Barbara activist who has been working on homeless issues for years, and also he's a very well-published poet and essayist who has also been the subject of some interviews on Free Radio. He sent me this New Year's message. Another new year, and I find myself at a loss about what to say as a year-end greeting. Like so many of you, so many of us, I find age upon me in many subtle and not-so-subtle ways. I know enough about it to see what it offers in terms of change, adventure, the shifting of light and dark, the possibilities of a newness in terms of what and how to see, think, and feel. But I also miss the past and who I once was, the friends I loved who are dead, and the world I loved as it fades away and another comes into existence and takes its place. Better? Worse? I won't venture to say, and it would hardly matter if I did. Our time, as usual, seems rather dark to me. The human traits I value most still seem, in short supply, and I will list them here as a kind of advertisement for their value. Senses of honor, humor, irony, especially about oneself, and solidarity. A willingness to stand with and fight for the insulted and injured in our midst. A devotion to the truth. A willingness to think oneself beyond received doctrines, false certainty, and protective fictions. And a deep joy in life as it is, even as one understands how it must change. I am no better at these than is anyone else, but how I love to see them when they appear. And I need not mention, of course, at least a few of the things now clouds the future. The planet's endangerment via global warming, the conflicts increasing around the globe, the ever-growing inequities and excesses of capitalism, our broken political system and the lies, nitwit ideas and rhetorical contests, which take the place of genuine dialogue or deeply reflective thought. Whether all that is adequately counterbalanced by at least some progress in terms of equality, if not justice, or advances in medicine, technology, or scientific discovery and knowledge, that, too, I cannot say, nor would it matter much if I could. So I'll simply settle for this. A wish for you and those you love that the new year brings joy and a sense of ease in the world as it is, as well as the tenacity and energy to continue to change, to try to change it for the better. And I'll send along, as well, a few poems, which you are, of course, free to ignore, since I'm quite aware many things meant to be gifts can actually be impositions. The gift. This is one of the poems he sends along. Inside, the world deepens into whatever remains filled with light. The garden is almost still, gently moved by a breeze from the past. The leaves tremble, waver, become the faces of gone friends. I have grown old at this desk, writing poems no one will read. What of it? The gifts we are given are no more and no less than flowers they spread at the feet of a Buddha. Petals dry into dust. The green stalks turn brown. Plenitude is still the word I would use here at this happy ending. That's a poem by Peter Marin called The Gift. Here's another one called Here. We are here at the end, riding the last wave of creation. Write it on a sign, and I will carry it through the boulevards, wild-eyed but clear-headed, remembering these things. Deserts, the edges of jungles, the high Peruvian plateau where I sat, waiting with rebels for whatever would come. There is no way to wake and find the garden intact, the oaks regreened, the pines free of beetles and disease. Everything I love is slowly fading away into the haze of a future I will not be in. The blue of the sky fills me with sorrow, and the seas in my dreams break on deserted shores. I watch from the late stages of my life, building a ship out of words. To what end? Now for the street to carry my sign, crying out, "The end is nigh." Not what I imagined, a boy in Brooklyn thinking the world would be mine. That's another poem called Here by Peter Marin. And here's one called The Dawn. The wind comes up, the frame of the day is set to trembling, bits of the garden appear behind them, a darkness below them, an abyss. Slowly the light in its circuit emerges from the trees, the leaves, the buds out of emptiness, becoming the world. I watch as always, astonished, thinking my thoughts, in the kitchen at my desk, drinking my coffee, beginning another day. Is there a greater gift? What is it fills my flesh? My wife is sleeping upstairs so many years, and the light brighter now opens into all that remains. And that is the poem Here by, I'm sorry, The Dawn by Peter Maron. And thank you, Peter, for sending me that. And I hope you enjoyed it. A listeners out there who aren't calling in, 427-3772. Time to call in with your New Year's resolutions. Let's get cliche, shall we? If you have anything you want to say, we have a few minutes left in the show, so now could be the time to say them. And if not, we'll have to cover the silence with music. Technical problems, folks. Don't go away. So, we have a technical problem at the studio. We're just going to have to skip the musical break and go directly to some more street interviews. But maybe that's all for the best, since that's kind of the nub of the show. Let's begin with this.
And it's about 4 o'clock, and there's a spot off to the side on Lincoln Street at Pacific, which wasn't previously there, and no spots between Lincoln and Joe's Pizza, which is interesting.
Which is a bit.
Looks like Officer, not Ahern, who's writing tickets for cars. I wonder if I got a ticket. Not Chip.
No! Like
skating here. Better get out of here fast. Parked in front of Lizard. Yes.
But when you don't need them, they're not.
We're talking with
James.
And James, what news do you have for us about our friends in the hospitality crowd?
Well, it's not just hospitality, but it's also security and the police. Same as always. Where's anybody when you need them?
So you needed them recently? I would think you would need them not to be around.
Well, I just need something simple like a pamphlet, but it's like pulling teeth trying to find people.
Well,
those pamphlets that they want to hand out all the time, and like...
They're at the kiosk over there.
Oh, they're at the kiosk?
In other words, the kiosk in front of New Leaf usually has such pamphlets.
But see, I would have known that if there's
Think of me as your local hospitality guy.
Thank you.
Now get the fuck out of town.
Oh!
We like you. We love you so much.
Oh. So hospitable.
Thank you, James.
And continuing with more street interviews, let's see what we got here.
The Red Church, it's about 20 after 6 on the 29th of December. I'm talking with...
Jenna.
Jenna, in the past, you've had, there's been some problems with First Alarm security guy Bob.
Yes, there has, but now I haven't seen him on because I think a bunch of people did a report and they actually got rid of him.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
How are the other First Alarm security guards?
They're actually really nice now.
No tickets, no hassles, no get the hell out of the library.
They only give you tickets if you're smoking on Pacific. Other than that, they ask you nicely to leave if you're doing something wrong.
They ask you nicely to surrender your rights?
Not exactly.
Again, we've been talking with...
Jenna.
Thanks, Jenna. We're talking about a law of Vader in Capitola.
No.
A secret law of Vader? Anything else? He's laughing. He's giving me the not talking sign. Thank you, sir. The man who just gave a great donation to the city. How much?
$300 in parking tickets.
Now, what kind of parking tickets were there?
Oh, because I like to park on the beach.
And how many tickets were there?
Oh, about 20. So now I'm ready to get 20 more because I'm going to keep parking on the beach. I'll pay another $300.
And this is, you're living in your vehicle? That's where this is?
Yeah.
So it's a rental fee, perhaps?
Sure.
That's you wish to pay. Reveal your identity, or is this going to be a thank you for letting
guy in
know.
A van.
Thank you, guy in a van. But talking with...
I was hoping to grab a bite to eat first.
Sure. Okay, I mean, if I'm around, grab me. Otherwise, we've been talking with, very briefly.
Amir.
Thank you, man.
God bless you.
We have a man who's curious about the world outside Santa Cruz. Your name, sir?
My name is Galen Abbas. I've been in Santa Cruz for 14 years, and it seems like there's some sort of war going on outside of somewhere in the United States, it seems like. And it seems like there's all sorts of different kinds of, like, ideas and identities and things like that at stake. And I really, like... I don't know, and I have not heard anything from outside of Santa Cruz, basically.
What's happening in Santa Cruz? Anything you want to say?
No, not really.
Well, thank you for talking. We've been talking with...
Galen.
Thanks, Galen. We have a news flash from the streets.
It's cold.
And what's your name, cold man?
James.
Are you outside tonight?
Yeah.
How are you going to stay warm?
With a sleeping bag.
And have you had problems doing that in the past? I understand the temperature is due to drop to 32 tomorrow night.
Yeah. Better have a sleeping bag. That'd be my advice.
Don't let them take your sleeping
Anything
bag.
Anything less than that, and you got to go inside.
Or squat in the building, perhaps. Yeah. Again, we've been talking with...
James.
Thanks, James.
Have a good night.
God, her, himself, and we're all children of God, and so let's just be each other's friends, because we're all children of God.
With a dog, or maybe two dogs. What's your name?
It's a three-dog night, Mr. Norse.
That's what I understand.
It is, but Happy New Year. I understand there's going to be the... New Year's Eve parade at the Saturn Cafe at 5 o'clock on New Year's Eve, downtown Santa Cruz. A wonderful person by the name of Wes Mode might or might not be involved. But there's going to be beautiful women and pretty lights. And
you will be there, in other words?
I would like to be there, but, you know, I'm the lunch lady, so I'm pretty much on the clock. I have to wait and see what my bosses are going to do that day.
And to those who don't know you as lunch lady, what is your other name?
My other name, alias, is Julie Shaw.
How can people find your ravings online?
Okay, well, right now it's on CFAB, but, you know, normally my websites are the Santa Cruz Full-Timers, which is the facebook.com/groups/Santa Cruz Full-Timers or /RV Parking Rights or /Santa Cruz Safe Parking. But Happy New Year.
Ho, ho, ho to you, madam. Thank you, Julie.
Keep going, yes! I've been like whenever. I think I've only got 10% of your posts, but I like as many as I see. I wish I could like all of them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're doing the right thing.
And I like your hat.
Me too.
Any reports from the street?
Yeah.
You're doing pretty good. Found a really good camping spot. And the cops do not mess with me.
Well, we better make a note of this. You wish to say who you are?
Joseph Earl Taylor III.
And you say you found a non-messable camping spot?
Yeah, found a really nice... They don't bother me there. Found a overhang on the porch. And
you don't want to know the exact location. Keep it to yourself.
You know what? It's not very far from here. Not very far. And it's a very big porch. There's enough for about 20 people on that porch.
Well, the larger the crowd, probably the more likely it is to get busted, but I wish you all good luck.
Yeah, but there's only one.
Right now there's only you.
Yeah.
You're keeping it low profile.
Yeah, really low profile.
Anything else happening to you outside you want to talk about?
Just been same old, Dreamcatcher ripped me off for three quarters of an ounce.
My goodness.
Now, why did he do that?
He wanted to rid me of some of my money, pretty much.
There was, you tried to buy, and he declined. He just didn't come through.
He never came through with it. And the guy who I used to play the flute right in front of the post office, he ripped me off for $90 worth.
Now, are you being cautious in your investments, or are you just a trusting soul?
I told him to come back with $150, and the other one to come back with $95, and so I could go and re-up.
And so you didn't get the full value?
Yeah, no, I did.
Are we talking about marijuana or something?
Yeah, marijuana.
Fair
I
enough.
Used it as a pain medication for my hip, my shoulder, and a lot of other things.
Have you spoken to Dreamcatcher about this ripoff?
He just up and disappeared.
I haven't seen him myself. Well, not sure when I last saw him.
About 3 weeks.
Really? There is no second.
No seconds, according to this line. It's a big line tonight. Thank you. We've been talking with, somebody else. Any reports? No. Okay. Any street reports? Okay. No problem. Hey, Bliss, any reports from the street?
I haven't been on the street very much, so.
Well, any reports from your neck of the woods?
Nothing to report at the moment. Sorry.
No problem. That's okay. Thank you.
I'm kind of brain dead at the moment.
That's all right. I'm a little sleepy myself. Any street reports?
Buy low, cheap high.
Sage advice. What's your name there, investor?
Coy.
And are you buying and selling late at night while you're trying to catch a few winks outside? Or?
That's correct.
And how are you doing in terms of your ability to avoid the authorities as they... Because potentially it's illegal to sleep outside.
I try to be invisible.
And are you successful?
Mostly. But the authorities have detectors. They can see me. They have eyes.
So they are pretty... But have you gotten any tickets lately?
Once in Harvey West about a year ago.
And since that time you've been sleeping out nightly?
Or? Yeah.
So you've been pretty good in terms of avoiding tickets.
They were a pain, they were a hassle, they're worth avoiding tickets.
Are you generally alone when you sleep or in a group?
I'm surrounded, sort of, by a bunch of
other people.
Yeah.
Do they get tickets or do you, are there generally no tickets?
Some of them actually are the ones giving me the ticket.
I will say no more. And thank you again, we've been talking with?
Coy.
Thank you, Coy.
Thank you, you are beautiful.
What's that?
Nice, I like your rap.
We have a crazy report from San Francisco. Your name, sir? Well, you can be anonymous if you wish.
I'm anonymous.
What's your report?
It's crazy.
In what way?
It just is.
And what about you? Any thoughts?
If you're going to be homeless, don't go to San Francisco.
What did you find up there?
People are getting robbed a lot and stuff, so it's probably not a good idea.
So it's mostly homeless on homeless, or is it mostly police on homeless?
Police.
Did the police rob you at all?
Nope.
Did anybody else rob you?
No.
Welcome to Santa Cruz. Give your money in your hand at all times.
All right. Thank you.
We've been talking with?
Gabby.
And an anonymous man. Thank you both. Talking to Steve Blech. What's this about a Posner petition?
Well, I talked to Rabbi Phil Posner, and he was interested and has been working very hard in gathering signatures on a petition to get the city or county to establish a camp of last resort so people can sleep, you know, overnight in our parks, which is entirely reasonable. So I've been working with him, kind of pointing out some people to talk to, and I put an online petition up for that today, so you can go and your listeners can go and check that out.
Where can they find that?
It's on the Credo petition site, but it's all over Facebook.
What kind of search?
Okay. Anything about the upcoming lawsuit on behalf of the people who've lost their property?
That we're putting on hold, but we are going to be filing an action to get permanently enjoined if we can the stay-away order. We'll be filing that before January 13th.
Before it's even passed, you mean?
Before its second reading, as you know, it's a done deal, but we want to have that filed and served by the 13th so we can inform council at that point that there is litigation and that we are seeking to enjoin that the enforcement of that law and make sure that we're well within the 30 days before it goes into enforce, so we now don't have to go and try to get it stricken off the books when it's already on the books. So we'll work on it.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you will be driving a Bearcat in the DIY parade?
Well, I really can't say anything about that, but Deputy Chief Clark and I are kind of drawing straws to see who's going to be able to for the privilege of driving the Bearcat. And we're hoping, we both agreed that having you strapped to the hood would be the perfect ornament.
Oh! Wow, this is impressive stuff. And we've been talking to that man about Santa Cruz with the bagels,
Steve Plage.
We call him Bon Vivant.
Yeah. Sign the petitions, give back the Bearcat, and establish the Campbell Last Resort. Talk to Rabbi Phil Posner, he's working really hard on that, so he deserves your support and any help you can give him.
And also those who want to reach you with the Homeless Persons Legal Assistance Project. And
absolutely, they can reach me anytime at 466-6078. They can come over to the Red Church on Mondays, if we're speaking now, and I can talk to them either before or after the meal, or they can come over to the United Nations Association store, which is across from the Metro, and I'm there between 2 and 5 on Wednesday. Be happy to talk to anybody.
Any word about the Cannabis Alliance's attempt to confront the supervisors at the upcoming January 13th meeting to stop the restrictive rule?
You know, I was wanting to go to the last Cannabis Alliance meeting they had allowed Nelson. I wasn't able to attend, but I'm certainly in support of whatever they're interested in doing with the Board of Supervisors.
They have one tomorrow up in Ben Lomond or in... anyway, at San Lorenzo Valley, you might go online and take a look at it.
I will. Thank you, Robert.
And we've been talking with
Steve Plage.
Thank you, Steve.
Who are you?
Phil.
The hell are you?
How's it going? So we have a quick report out here from an anonymous man. What happened to you?
I busted my eye open getting hit by a driver on my bike.
How long ago?
Oh, 5 months ago, 6 months ago.
Santa Cruz?
Yeah, Santa Cruz. Went to the hospital over here. Dominican,
right.
And was treated like I was nothing. I walked in with blood all over my face, all my hands.